Amen. Well, let's open our Bibles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Heard the story about the preacher. This little country church had a bad blizzard, and only one old cowboy showed up to church that day. If y'all have heard this, stop me. Preacher, he leads the singing, and then he preaches for about 45 minutes, and he asked the old cowboy to pray so he could run back to the back. You know how they do, shake everybody's hands, they walk out the door. And so when the old cowboy got done praying, he walked out, and he said, he's just so excited. You know, he had never got this guy to church, and finally got him to church, and he's the only one there. And so he's shaking his hand, and he says, what'd you think? And he says, if a blizzard comes in, you know, I make sure and go out to feed all my cows. He said, if only one cow showed up, I wouldn't feed her the whole load. But y'all are going to get the whole load today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we want to start. We want to talk about another aspect of doctrine that's important. And, you know, why do we do what we do? And I'll never forget, it's one of those things that really sticks in my mind. But I can remember years ago, Wendy and I and another couple sitting around and discussing the Lord's Supper. And all of us being from different backgrounds and different churches and experiencing the Lord's Supper in different ways. And I can remember that conversation really well as we were talking about that and talking about our different experiences of how we did it in different churches and trying to decipher why. And I want to talk about that a little bit. The Lord's Supper is something that we celebrate and share together every week, and I'll tell you why we do that as we go. But it's really important. You know, there's two ordinances that the Lord Jesus has given to His church: baptism and the Lord's Supper. Two things that now different groups are going to call that a sacrament. I'm not going to call the Lord's Supper a sacrament because that implies that it has some kind of salvific characteristic to it, that it contributes to salvation in some way. And it doesn't. It can't. It is a memorial meal. It is something that we share together to remember, to think about who the Lord Jesus is, and that sort of thing. But you know, you're not more forgiven by taking the Lord's Supper. You're not more saved by taking the Lord's Supper. It doesn't add to your salvation in any way. And so I want us to talk about that a little bit this morning. We're going to begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 16. Now, we're breaking right into the middle of a chapter here, and Paul is addressing the Corinthians in regards to idolatry. Now, just a little bit of setting. The Corinth was very close to a port city, a port, so it's a port city. You've got people from all over the world there. And with them, all of their different worships, all the different gods and goddesses that the Greek and Roman world worshipped, being a part of that, and these Christians being right dead square in the middle of that, them coming out of paganism and becoming followers of Christ. And so Paul's basically telling them in this chapter, look, you got to leave idolatry. When you decide to follow Jesus, you got to turn your back on idolatry and flee from that. So he says there, beginning in verse 16 of 1 Corinthians 10, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So this is a rhetorical statement, a question that Paul is making here. He's saying, you know, this cup of blessing that we bless, isn't this a communion, a sharing with Christ? The bread that we break, isn't it a communion, a sharing with the body of Christ? He says, for we being many are one bread. And that's a very profound statement that we think about. You know, we basically in the church that he's talking about, we're a whole bunch of us, a whole bunch of different people, we all come together and we form one body, just like a whole bunch of different constituent parts make up a loaf of bread. So he says, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat the sacrifices partaker of the altar? Now he's using a reference to the priestly system in the Levitical priests and how they partook of the altar. The people brought the sacrifices, and the priests, that was the priest's food. They ate that bread and meat that was brought to put on the altar. Verse 19, he says, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? So now,